probably like many ladies here in the church, Salisa loves to mess with the flowers, the shrubs, the garden from time to time. She's got this little rain gauge out beside the barn. And every time there is a chance of rain, she checks it to see how much rain we received. She read somewhere that a shrub, a plant, a garden actually needs 1 inch a week in order to reach its maximum potential. So when we have a week where there is no rain, she waters everything at least an inch. If we receive a half inch this week, she makes up the difference. I don't know if it's just because we live on the farm, but at one point in the day, usually in the morning, one of us will ask the other one, "What's the weather supposed to be like today?" And somewhere, one of us will ask the other, "Is it supposed to rain?" Sometimes we say we don't know, we haven't seen the weather forecast yet, but many times we'll say this, "It's a 30% chance of rain. It's a 60% chance of rain." Do any of you do that? Now, you know that when we're talking about rain, the higher the chance, the better the odds of us receiving rain. Many times when we hear the weather forecast and it's just a 20 to 30% chance, we really don't alter what we're going to do. But sometimes on the farm, when it's a 70 to 80%, especially the possibility of a thunderstorm, we sometimes don't do what we were going to do. We change our plan. I can't tell you how many times when the weatherman says there's a 70% chance of rain and we think we really need it and we don't get it, wow, we are so disappointed on the farm. Do any of you know what I'm talking about when I talk like that? Isn't it amazing how much different 2013 was than 2012? Unbelievable. There's just something about some things that God has created. They need rain. And if they receive rain every time they need it, they reach their full potential. But if they do not get it, like rain doesn't fall at the right time, or you have a drought like we had last year, where not only creeks dried up, but literally wells dried up. It's amazing how different things look. The most famous verse in Amos is in our reading this morning. Let's stand together to read verse 18 of Amos chapter 5 and read through verse 27, but please pay close attention to verse 24. This morning we're going to talk about what's the chance of rain today. What's the chance of rain today? From the book of Amos. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into his house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps. I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up Succoth, your king, and Sion, your star god, your images that you made for yourselves. And I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Father, what a passage. And the context so different from the songs we sung this morning, all referring to what we call the second coming of Jesus, built upon the Old Testament thought of the day of the Lord. God, help us realize there are two sides to the day of the Lord. Yes, there is that side of salvation, in which you vindicate the righteous. But there is also that side of judgment in which you condemn the lost. Father, Israel thought they was ready. They actually spoke in glowing terms of the day of the Lord, just as the church does today, the second coming of Christ. Please do not let us be like Israel and not be ready for what we think we're ready for. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Woe in Hebrew thought literally was to be cursed. Can you imagine a prophet of the Lord standing before the people of God, God's chosen people, and saying to them, "Cursed are you who desire the day of the Lord." Now you got to remember that for the children of Israel, the day of the Lord was that day when God would step into human history and intervene. It was the time when God would say, "Enough is enough. I can't stand what's going on my planet anymore." And Israel thought that the reason there would be a day of the Lord was because God would be tired of how the unrighteous were treating the righteous. Therefore, when the day of the Lord came, Israel would be vindicated as the people of God. And all her enemies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Phoenicians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, all of them would be judged for their sin. The basis of that judgment would be how they treated God's people. So Israel is living in a time when they're actually looking forward, hoping for the day of the Lord. Can you imagine waiting for something and then when it comes, it not be what you were waiting for? See, they were expecting this to be a great day of light, a great day where they would be vindicated. And yet Amos says, when this day comes, it will not be a day of light, but it'll be a day of darkness, gloom, no brightness at all. In other words, no light at the end of the tunnel at all. He said, when this day comes, it will be like a man who was out in the woods and he met a lion. I can't even imagine that, can you? You're running from a lion, and about the time you feel safe, you meet a bear. So now you're running from a bear instead of a lion, and about the time you make it to your house and get inside the door, shut the door, lean up against the wall in total exhaustion, a snake is laying on the mantle, and it bites you. In a day where there was no anti-venom, to be bit by a poisonous snake meant death. Wow. In other words, when this day comes, there's not going to be any hiding. When you suddenly realize this is not going to be a day of light, but a day of darkness, when you realize it's not going to be a day of salvation, but it's going to be a day of judgment, there's nowhere to run. Can I just say this? You better be careful what you ask for. We're living in an age in which the first time I hear people starting to say this, maybe it's just because my generation's getting old, but I'm hearing a lot of Christians all of a sudden start saying, "I just can't wait till Jesus comes back. Just can't." Are y'all hearing that a lot? Be careful what you ask for. He is coming back. And if you sit in a pew at Hardin Baptist Church, but you're on the wrong side of Him on that day, Revelation chapter 6 paints a picture of unbelievers trying to hide from God. And so they look for a cave. Can you see all of us in Western Kentucky trying to take a trip to Mammoth Cave to hide? So we're all crowding in that giant cave system. And all of a sudden when we realize we're not even safe there, we cry out for the cave to just collapse on us. Because that day of judgment is going to be so bad. Now somebody's got to be asking the question, why is God ticked? What has Israel done? And here's what God says. Look at verse 21. I hate. Now you expect God to tell you what He hates, but He doesn't tell us right at first what He hates. He said, I hate, I despise. Y'all know what it means to despise, right? And guess what God despises? Israel's feast. Those feasts that God set aside to say to Israel, I want you to gather before me and have a great time of celebration because of what I've done for you. The people are showing up loving those celebration times, and God says, I hate them. I despise it every time you get together to celebrate. Whoa. Now, when this gracious, merciful, loving God says, I hate, you better take notice. Amen? He says, I hate. He says, I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Now, that's the opposite of those times of celebration. It's when Israel would gather before the Lord, and whoa, they'd be serious. God says, I take no delight when you do that. He says, when you bring your burnt offering and your grain offering, he says, you can bring them, but they're just going to stay on the altar because I'm not going to accept them. He says, when you bring the peace offering of your fatted animals, now this is the biggie. That's that choice animal out back, and you want to make a peace offering God, so you bring that animal, and God says, hey, that thing you're so proud of, I'm not even going to look at it. And then he says, when you come together to sing your songs and play the melody on your harp, guess what? I'm not listening to a word of it. See, here's why the day of the Lord is going to be a day of judgment for Israel, not a day of salvation. Was because of what was going on in the hearts and the minds of God's people when they gathered together to worship Him. But now God's going to tell Israel what He really wants. This isn't saying He didn't want them to gather for worship. He wanted them to gather for worship. But when they gathered for worship, He wanted their worship to reveal the walk that they had before Him and with their neighbors. But there was a disconnect. So He said, but let justice flow like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing river. Here's all I want you to remember this morning. You ready? This is it. It's not just about what you do when you walk in. It's about what you do when you walk out. Can I say that one more time? It's not just about what you do when you walk in. It's about what you do when you walk out. And here's what God desires from His chosen people. For there to be a correlation between what's happening in the seat during worship and what's happening on the streets during the week. Amen? He's not saying don't gather, but He says make sure that when you scatter, that's when you really reveal what you think about me. Boy, if we're not careful in the church today, we think this morning reveals what we think about God. Amen? You know what God says? Today's just the first day. If you really want to reveal to me what you think about me, you'll show me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And here's what I desire in the streets. For justice to roll like water. Now you got to remember in the Middle East, when it rained, the water would gather and it would begin to roll down those ravines into what they called wadis. I got so tickled several years ago when Sleece and I got to go to Israel. And we got to see the mighty Jordan. I was so disappointed. It wasn't much bigger where I was than Clark's River. I kid you not. See, there's just not much water in the Middle East. And so God takes here what was most precious in Israel, water, and compares it to justice and righteousness. And He said, what I want to see out in the street, what I want to see in the businesses of Christians, what I want to see from employees to employers, what I want to see in our school system, what I want to see in our government, what I want to see is justice. I don't want it to be a stagnant water supply. I want it to be rolling down those hillsides. Righteousness. I want it to be like an ever-flowing stream. Wow. We kind of take water for granted here in the States, agreed? Can I ask you a question? How would your life be different if every time you went to your water faucet, there was just a 20% chance you was going to get water? What if you lived in a better part of the county. And every time you went to turn on your faucet, there was a 40% chance you'd get water. If the majority of time when you turned on your faucet, you did not get water, would that not change your life? Can I ask you a question? Serious question, and we're done. Because there's only one point this morning. It's not just about what you do when you walk in. It's about what you do when you walk out. What's the chance of a person who's in need this week who meets you getting from you justice and righteousness? What's their odds? 20? 30? 40? 50? 60? 70? 80? 90? 100%. Every time you deal with someone, you will do the right thing. I'm talking about to your wife. I'm talking about to your children. I'm talking about to your employer, your employee, your teacher, your students, your parents. That's what God wants. I don't know how we miss this in the New Testament, but I think some of us have. Remember what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "You've heard it said, but I say..." Remember those sermons? Remember that one where he said, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not," and he talks about murder. And then he says, "But I say, I don't want you to be angry." Whoa! And then to tell you how serious this is, he said this: if when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother's got something against you, remember what he told us to do? Remember what he said? Leave your gift in your seat and go find that person. And make it right. Be reconciled to your brother first. Then come and offer me a gift. How many of us right now know I should have never opened my mouth and uttered a word this morning? Because what I really should have done was left. And found out where so-and-so lives. And make it right with him what I've been wrong with him about all week. How many of us should have just left our billfold in our seat and have left before we put our tithes and offerings in the plate? Because we know who we're not right with. But yet, this morning, we declare we're right with God. And according to the Bible, if you're not right out there, you're not right in here. Amen? Amen? Doesn't mean you have to be in agreement with everything everybody says or does. But are you right with them? Do you remember when James talked about faith that saves? You remember the illustration that he used? He said if you know someone's in need and you just say to them, "Hey, peace, be warm, be filled," and they leave and you didn't meet their need, you don't have a faith that saves. You have a faith that's dead. And faith is the core of our relationship with God, is it not? Remember John when he talked about love? When he illustrated what true love is, he talked about Cain and Abel and talked about how Cain was a murderer. And then he said, no murderer has eternal life. And then when he began to talk about what love is, he contrasted it with hate, which leads to murder. And then here's what he says. Those of you who have the world's goods, that's us in America. Amen? And you see a person in need. If you don't share what you have of the world's good to meet that person's need who's in need, you're just like Cain. See, in the church, we would never take a life, but whoa, how many of us prevent life? Did not Jesus himself in Matthew 25 say, when there's that great separation day, sheep and goats, he started with the sheep. He said, "Man, thank you, thank you, thank you for feeding me, for putting clothes on my back, for visiting me when I was sick. When I was thrown in prison, you were the first one there. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And the sheep, being really humble, said, "Lord, I mean, I'm glad we're getting in, but would you tell us when we did that to you? Because we don't remember it." Remember what he said? "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." And then on the other side, there's the goats. And when he called the goats in, what did he say to the goats? He didn't say to the goats, "You never went to church. You never read your Bible. You never gave." What did he say to the goats? "Man, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Man, I was sick, you didn't visit me. Man, I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Man, I was in prison, you didn't visit me." And the goats are saying, "Lord, we never had the opportunity. When did we not do that to you?" He said, "You never did it to these. And when you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. There's a great day coming." There's a great day coming, but there's also a sad day coming. A sad day coming. What kind of day will it be for you? How many of us right now need to admit, I've got to change the way I act in the street so that God will accept what I do in my seat? This morning isn't a reflection of your relationship with the Lord only. Out there is a reflection of your relationship with the Lord. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We got time. With no one making a judgment, who'll be the first person to get up out of the seat, come down here and say, I want justice to flow like water. I want it to roll down the streets of Hardin and Murray and Dexter and Ammo and Shiloh and South Marshall and Aurora, Golo, Canton. When people meet me and they're in need, I want them to know there's a 100% chance I'm going to do the right thing. Who'll be the first one to say, I want that everlasting stream to start in my life? Who'll be the first one to get up out of their seat and just come down here to these steps and let's just fall before the Lord and say, God, I remember what 212 was like physically. I had a yard that died. I had shrubs that died. I had corn that never made an ear. Man, I never realized that people come to me and they have needs and I want to be a stream. I want to be a stream. I want to be a part of a river. If you're seeing Redbud Road, yes, we may just need a creek, but our county needs a river. A river. That's what our community needs. The church being consistent. And there being a correlation between our work, our walk, and our worship. We are justified people becoming sanctified people who are on the way to being glorified people. And it's through our sanctification that the world sees we are really right with Him. Father, thank You for these who are in the steps of our church, what we designate as the old-fashioned altar. Father, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Father, let it rain in our area with justice and righteousness, just like it rains in the Amazon River Basin. There are times on the Amazon River when you can just set your clock by the fact that it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Father, as we leave here, there's a little girl who's trying to get through college. And she's a waitress at the restaurant we're going to eat in a few moments. She's struggling. And what she needs this afternoon is perhaps some justice, some righteousness. I wonder what the chance is that she's going to get that from the person sitting here right now who she's going to get the opportunity to serve. Because we're going to sit down at that restaurant thinking, I need to be served, when in essence, You've put us there to be of service. Father, do not let there be a disconnect from the way we worshiped You and the way we're going to witness about You by the way we act toward that person. Let us remember, it's not just about what we do when we walk in. It's about what we'll do now that we're ready to walk out. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.